Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here's this week's message.
No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. It's nice to see some lovely apple trees here. Amen. Lovely orange trees. Hallelujah. Look at that rose bush. Hallelujah. And across this side, what do we have? Pear trees. Apple trees. Amen. Amen. You are a good fruit. You are. As a child of God, you have good seeds in you, and it's growing, and it's growing, and we have to nurture it. Amen? Let's look now. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about stewardship, and now we've got stewardship part two. Stewardship and time management. Amen? No, we're not quite certain. No, it's gone very quiet. Time management. I want to give you three questions I want to sow into your heads, so when we finished, I want you to answer them between you and God, no one else. And the first question is, how is your relationship with God? Number two, how much time do you spend with Him and around God's people? And question number three, where do you stand at the moment in the church? I want you to think about those three questions. Because Chris has asked me to speak on the life groups. But he did a fantastic job. Where's Chris? Hallelujah. So thank you, Chris. He took half of my sermon. But now let us look at the role of the local church. Let's look at the role of a local church. It is a family, equipping center, an army, and a hospital. Now each one of them are a sermon in themselves. So Steve said, I've only got 2 hours. So I will cut it down. Amen. Let's just look at Galatians 6. And we're going to talk about what the church is. And you will find the church and the life group all meshed together. The church. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all the people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. So we're a family. I don't know how we get on with your family. Do you get on well? Do you get on well? Some people do, some people don't. But we are a family, and where can we share as a family in a life group? That's point number one. We're a family. Also, Romans 12, 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. How do we get to know people on a Friday? We don't, do we? We say, hi. Hi, nice to see you. How are you? Fine. And then we just go off. We need to have a deeper relationship with ourselves. Now, I've heard Pastor Steve say, we're a family, we're a family. And I would never contradict him. But I do know that when I joined the church, and I know there's people who have been lonely. Hear me. Who came to speak to me when I first joined the church? I want to challenge you today. Let's be a real family. Let's be a church which really loves. Because I tell you something, when we love as Jesus Christ has loved us, when we were sinners, people are going to pour into here, amen? Because it's not going to be the message, it's going to be the love of Jesus Christ which is going to bring them in. Not the sermons, not the praise and worship, but the love of Christ. It's going to be like a magnet. And I shared with Oasis, my mother-in-law came to a church we were at, and I was a bit nervous because she's not a churchgoer. What's she going to say? What do you think of the church? Do you know what she said? I felt love. Amen? And that is the aim we need, yes? And where we're going to start practicing it? In our life groups. Give us a chance as a church to minister to you. Give us, if you're new and you don't know anybody, you go to a life group, you've got somebody to sit next to, amen? And it is a lonely place, but join a life group. Because there you can sit, and it's scriptural, right? We need to obey these churches. We need to obey this. It says here, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Let's do good to all people, especially those who belong to God's family. You see, once we start ministering to ourselves, once we get used and have the spirit of hospitality, the spirit of ministry, we can then do it to others. We need to start with ourselves. We need to stop putting our masks on. How are you? I'm fine. I've had a terrible week, but I'm fine. You know, I shouldn't say this because there's a lot of Americans here. And as you can tell from my accent, I'm not American. But you know, one of the things the Brits sort of say, have a nice day. That's what we think Americans are, you know. Have a nice day. And they smile a lot. But you know something? I'm beginning to like that, right? I got into trouble when I went back to England because I said I sounded too American. But I don't know what they're on about. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, it's about, let's start practicing now. Yes. And another point, which I'll go to now, equipping center. We are an equipping center. The church is first a family. We are secondly an equipping center, a place where we learn, a place where we train, a place where we make mistakes. And we prepare ourselves for going out there. So Christ himself gave us apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the work of service. Amen. So that the body of Christ may be built up. So everything we do as a church, we have to do to build up the kingdom. Amen. It's not for our own kingdom, it's for him. And why do we do it? Because of what he's done for us. He died on the cross. Amen. That must be an amen. Amen. He died on the cross. Hallelujah. And the next thing, which you don't hear very often, he saved us from going to hell. Hallelujah. Oh, we're not quite certain about that. Oof. He saved us from going to hell. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. Is that not a thing to get excited about?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm from England. We don't get excited. If you're really English, you should stand there and preach from here and just be solemn and don't be disrespectful.
You see, we are an equipping center. Question, where do you get equipped? On a Friday? Yes, you hear sermons. Yes, you get fed. But do you not want more? Do you want more than Friday, yes or no? Are you sure? Because, you know, I want more. And as Chris said, sometimes even pastors don't feel like coming to church on a Friday. You don't feel like going to, but we need it. How can you develop a relationship with God? How can you develop a relationship with each other if I only see you once a week? I can't. It's impossible. I need to see you once a week. Life group leaders, I'm going to challenge you. It's your responsibility to contact every member of your group in between meetings. Amen? Well, we're not certain there. I'll try this side. Life group leaders, it's your responsibility to contact your group in between meetings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What I mean by that is, hi, how are you doing? I'm fine. Put the phone down. I don't mean a 15-minute, 20-minute conversation. But I'll tell you one thing, that when you ring that person, if they are having a difficult day, you're going to be the answer to their prayers. Amen? And it could be, hi, I'm just ringing to say, how are you doing this week? Yeah, it's great, fantastic. Oh, praise the Lord. Put the phone down. But to the person you ring up who's at the depths, and you ring up, just say, hi, I'm just ringing for nothing special, just to say, hi, oh, I need you. We can't do that. If we did with everybody here, Steve, our telephone bills would be massive and we wouldn't get a chance. As Chris said, it's an important ministry as a cell leader. So it's not just ministering on your night. You have to get in touch with them in between, even if it's just to say hi. Amen? Amen? Especially the leaders. I want big amens from that one. So, and equipping is a combination of teaching and practical instruction that makes them fit for service. Think about that. It's not just teaching the word, but it's practical instruction. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? His disciples followed, they watched, and they learned. Mentors, home group leaders, house group leaders, life group leaders. Who have you identified to take over from you? Who are you mentoring to give share the responsibility? Pray about that. Amen. So there we have equipping. The next part is the army. Are we all ready? Are we all ready? All ready for a fight? See, it's not a physical fight I'm talking about. It's a spiritual fight. The fact that we are who we are, and they don't see Norman, they say Jesus. If you've got Jesus in the heart, they say Jesus. They don't say Peter, they say Jesus. Because they just know. In the spiritual realm, their spirit knows that your spirit is different. Their spirit knows that your spirit knows how the end of the book is. Amen? And their spirit isn't going to the same place as us. Amen? But they know it. So each one of us are in a war because of who we are. Because we are Christians, there is a war which we are in. Just by walking into your office, they are reminded on who you are. When you're in your office, when you're at work, do you do extra photocopying for yourself privately? No. When there's gossip going on in the staff room, do we listen? Do we respond? No, we ask different. We've got to train ourselves as a church to be different. Because some people don't come to the church because we are too much like the world. Why should I go to church when I might as well stay in bed and have an extra sleep? Subject to the high powers, amen. Hallelujah. I won't say who that was, Pastor Steve. But praise the Lord. Anyway, let's get back to the army. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil's schemes. So when I say that we're part of an army, each one of us should put the armor of God. And we all know that's a whole sermon in itself, isn't it? And whether we take just our helmet off or what we take off, but we need to recognize as a church that each one of us are in the army. So the church is family, equipping, and we are an army. And what happens in an army? When you're in a battle situation, you go for a thing called R&R, which is rest and recuperation, where you can just relax, where you just be Norman. Where's that? Where does that happen? Life group. Amen? Amen? Life group. And, praise the Lord, you can get it on a Friday as well. Hallelujah. You can come in here and you can forget where you are. You can come in here and you can just dwell on God's word. And how come when you come in here, your problem seems to go away for a few hours, doesn't it? Do you know why? Because the Spirit of the living God is here. That is the reason. Or is it because we've got attuned to God? See, God's here all the time. So it's a combination of both, isn't it? Hallelujah. So, are we all soldiers? All right. Thank you, amen. Thank you, Abiel. And the next area we are a hospital. We've got plenty of nurses and doctors, amen? For the kingdom of God, when a person becomes a Christian and he is added to the church, they don't instantly lose all their connections, their past habits, and their problems and their hurts, right? When we got here, when we start getting revival, amen, when we start getting revival, I'm not going to go on until you give me an amen. This side, when we start getting revival, we are going to get a lot of people with hurts. A lot of people with hurts. Can we deal with them? Maybe Pastor Steve, yes. Pastor Steve's got the faith. Have you got the faith to believe? Where are they going to share? In this meeting? Maybe. If there's an appeal, they might come forward. Where they're going to share? Where they're going to hurt's going to be met. Life group. Life, amen? That's where they're going to be ministered. But I tell you something now. Let's not make light of this. This is so important that we minister to each other. It's no good giving your heart to the Lord and coming in here and not moving on, not dealing with your hurts of the past, dealing with rejection. We've got to be ready for it, because God will not bring people in until we are a church are equipped to deal with it. And I believe this church is on the right track. Amen? Amen? That, see, this side's, hallelujah, I think I'm going to stand here. This side, believe we're on the right track. What about this side? I'm not saying we're there yet, by the way, Dr. Joshua. I'm not saying we've arrived, okay? Right? But we're on the right track. We're beginning to look. And we need to examine ourselves at the beginning of the year. Each one of us needs to examine ourselves with the first questions. I said, how is your relationship with God? How much time do you spend with Him and around godly people? Where do you stand in the church? For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Right? I don't know about you, but when I was in the school, I needed joy. I needed peace, right? I needed that time where I could just sit in all that chaos, in all the things which are happening, because as I said, the fact that you are there is an irritation to some people, right? And I needed the peace of God. And when the peace, I needed the joy. That doesn't mean just laughing. It's a joy which no one can steal from you. Amen? And I need it. Where'd you get it? Life groups and Friday, amen? Because I've looked at Pastor Steve and he's going, don't forget Fridays. So it's isn't it? Right? Now, we as pastors don't want any of you to be hurt, right? Oh, pastor, can I come and talk to you? I'm having a terrible time and blah, blah, blah. Fine, brother. Fine, sister. What should we do? Well, why don't you? You're feeling lonely like I was when I first started. So I had to get up and walk and talk to people. Some people are not like that. Some people will just sit there and never go and talk. But what did I have to do? We have to build the relationship. I've been married for how many years, Janice? No, the reason I say that is I don't want to get it wrong. So it's a lot safer to ask your wife. 46 years? Oh, 46 years. Hallelujah. Yes, you're looking at me. You're saying, were you a child bride? So what I'm saying to you is, if your marriage or your relationship, I only met my wife once a week. Or twice a week, I wouldn't have a relationship, would I? It'd be a friend. It'd be acquaintance. So why with God do we not do the same thing? Why don't we spend more time with people of the right spirit, but some of us spend more time with people with the wrong spirit? I know when I went back to an army reunion, and I'd been left for about 16 years. I went back to this reunion, and it was like I'd gone back in time. And we're all sitting, yeah. But that's not me. I'd moved on. So we as a church have got to move on. But we've got to have our foundations right, because we care and we love you. We care and we love you. So I'm imploring you, please, get linked in. Not for my sake. Not because of numbers. We don't care about numbers. We care about you being ministered to. Yes, in the future, you'll be ministered to here. There'll be appeals. They'll be come forward for prayer. Yes, they will. But I'm concerned about what you're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And when something happens in your life, who are you going to ring? How many of you, don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. But in your head, put your hands up. How many of you have got Pastor Steve's number? Don't put your hands up, Rob. Robin's got his number. Sorry, Robin. I could only say that because she's on the praise and worship team and I'm looking after them, so she knows I don't mean that. But how many have had the number? And I tell you another question. I would say 3/4 put their hands up. Those quarter that didn't, and you're new here, praise the Lord, get the number. The biggest question I've got is, who's got my number? Don't put your hands up, please. I'll just get up.
Janice, thank you. John might have it, I think, and Peter might have it. That's it. Oh, and someone else has got, oh, hallelujah, I've got five. Rob has got it. So, but you see what I'm getting at? I'm making it light, but it is not light. We as a church, we as a leadership team, we want to minister to you. Because when we get to know you and you get to know your heart, things change. And there's people in this place here who I know their hearts. And okay, I might be a little bit sad with them for a few days, but I will never, never break my relationship with them because I know the heart. And we need to get to know the heart, and we need to have the heart of Christ. Yes. Amen? Whew, I'm not even halfway through. I haven't even started my sermon. Hallelujah. I'm just going to sum up on this one. Life groups allows you to grow. Remember, I mentioned about the trees in the beginning. A sapling, when it's planted, it has another, we call it a, I've got to speak to Matt a minute, just talk amongst yourselves. Matt, is that a rod, would you say? A stick which goes next to a tree? Yeah, sounds good, right? It's a stick which goes next to a tree to support it. You wrap the twine round it to support it when the winds come, because without that, it would be totally blown away. Because the roots haven't gone deeply. They haven't gone deep enough to support it. And there is Christians who've been Christians for 4, 5, 6 years, and their roots are not strong enough to take the storms. What is the stick? Life groups. Life groups. What's the support? Life groups. We need fellowship. Sometimes, believe it or not, I'm a private person, right? I say I'm an introvert, but Janice doesn't believe us. I'm a very, very private person, and I find it hard, even as a professional counselor, I find it hard to share with people, but I need to. I need to share. I need to be open. I need to be honest so I can grow, because too many people are carrying baggage around with them. They can't even run. And somebody said to me, the best way to motivate you to lose weight is to get a body thing on which has pockets in, right? And put half your weight in the pockets, right? And you try walking with it, and it drags you down. You're like this. But as soon as you take it off, wow, that's what it feels like to lose the weight, dragging it around with you. And how many Christians do that? How many Christians here are dragging weight around from other churches, from when you're in the States, from 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Well, you know, the Lord is saying, leave it at the cross. Share with somebody in your group, because it's not the Lord's will for us to be carrying it about. He wants us to be free and free indeed. Amen? That's his will for us. And we need to start thinking is, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And that's what we need to concentrate on. We are ambassadors for Christ. I haven't got time to start my sermon. Hallelujah. I'll do that the next time. I was going to talk about the wise man and the builder. But let's just close with this. Also, life groups are needed for revival. Amen? Amen? Needed for revival. Because we can't minister. When I was at the place where we can't mention down the bottom at ELC, right, we started life groups because we were too big and there was people in the hall could be missing. Somebody sitting at the back could be missing for 3 weeks and we'd never notice. When we get revival and we get that big, and I believe once we get restoration, that will start to happen. Once we get restoration, restore ourselves with God. Not about anybody else, but you and your relationship with God. Once you restore that and have the peace and the joy, some of you haven't felt the peace and the joy for a little while. Not all of you, but some of you haven't felt the peace and joy. And that's what the Lord wants in your life. So it's for revival. And do you know what else it's for? And it doesn't really happen in South Africa or America or in England, but it happens here. Do you know what the other reason we have house groups for? Do you not know? Anybody know? Persecution. Persecution. What happens if the ministry said, now you cannot meet anymore in this hotel? What would we do? Scatter. Think about it. A life group allows a church to function when there's persecution.
And we are in a time when we have to prepare for revival and we have to prepare for persecution. Because if we believe the people that are doing revelations, if we believe we're in the last days, there's going to be persecution. We as a church, are we ready for it? How do we operate? If you're in a life group, we have no problems. We're just everything just starts. Okay, we have a different focus. We don't have Friday, but we have the life groups. The Lord's word is still being preached. The word's being preached. Hallelujah. But they won't stop us. Amen. What happens in China? House groups. Massive. So that's why we want you to be part of a house group, because if persecution comes, it's our responsibility as a leadership team to make sure that you're taken care of. Not just to stand here, have the title and have the card. It's more than that. So life groups are important because of persecution. And it's very real in this area. Remember, when they came along, I wasn't here, but there was some people meeting in a villa and there was an accident. What did the ministry do? Shut the villa. Finished. What happens if they come along and say, you can't meet here anymore? We would survive, amen? That's how important we want you to plug in to life groups. One, and I'll sum up with this. One is to be a family. Two is to be an equipping center. Three is to be an army, a place where you're with fellow spirits with the same aim, the same objections. And last but not least, a hospital where we can come and we can be ministered to. We can be supported. You know something? You very kindly played when my father died. And I was dreading the funeral because they did taps. But because of your prayers, I got through it. And I have to thank you for that. Because I'm a musician. And as you know, when you know John, we're very sensitive, aren't we, John? Musicians are very sensitive people. And your prayers got me through it. Just knowing that you are praying. So the message today is we want you to reach your full potential. How can we, as a church, know your full potential? We know it because you're in life groups. And the life group leader says, "Ooh, did you know? I heard such and such. I heard Matt. Wow. Whew, he's a good speaker. You need to pull him." Or Mary. Oh, Mary. Has she got a heart for hospitality? Wow. And Jane. Jane, people just talk to her. That's how we can recognize your giftings, by you getting involved in the house group. Sorry, life group. There's so many names for them, but I love the word life because it's the pulse. So thank you for your time. Thank you because the Lord is sovereign and he's going to do a great thing in this place. If we are prepared to repent and move forward. Repent of what? Well, repent of being yourself. It's as simple as that. He wants us to be free. And if it's your first time here and you come back, that will be a hallelujah after this sermon. Amen. But we love you and we want to see you grow. And, you know, those teachers' accommodations, you know, you've got one person in a room, some people have to share. It's a lonely place. God is here for you. The church is here for you. We are trying to be there for you. Amen. We're not perfect. We do fail. I'll tell you that now. But you know something? Our heart is for you. So just pray for the leadership team. Pray for each other. Let's have a time of prayer. Oh Lord, just once again, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign. And Lord Jesus, as we've thrown many questions out, as they've been, we want you, Lord, to give the people here the answers. Let us be a church of pure love. Let us be a church of giving. Let us be a church of restoration. Because, Lord, we want to see your glory here in this place. Lord, and we know the protection that you're giving us, and we don't take it for granted. But, Lord, as we've concentrated on stewardship, as we've concentrated on our time, and, Lord, as Chris says, we're very busy. But 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week, is 4 hours a week too much to ask? Lord, you challenge me, because you know I just like to sit in and be locked in and just relax. But Lord, help each one of us to be stronger for you. Continue, Lord, to protect our families. Lord, we pray now for our families abroad. Lord, we miss them so much. We thank you that you'll protect them and you're keeping them. Lord, we thank you for the prayers of the saints for us. We just thank you, Lord, that you're in control. So now, Lord Jesus, be with us as we go into a time of fellowship. In Jesus' name. And the saints said, Amen. Amen. Amen.